You're listening to the Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland podcast. Now, your weekly message from Pastor Tim McLaughlin.
Praise God. Thank you for joining us. Glad that you're here for another one of our weekly podcasts. Pray that you've been doing well. I know there's a lot of things going on out in our society with the coronavirus, and I just pray a prayer of blessing over each one of you. I pray for good health, that you would just keep yourself safe and protected. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We shall not walk in fear, but we should just stand upon His word and His promises that by His stripes we are the healed of God in Christ Jesus. But even with that, we need to use wisdom. We need to use discretion. So I just pray that you're keeping yourself well protected. I want to share with you today and kind of finish what I started with last week as we started talking about proper praise. Proper praise. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So we talked about this last week, that the devil is like a roaring lion. He is the imitator, not the original. He is not the lion. He is just an intimidator. And so we looked at how important names are. And especially in biblical times, we don't think of these things now, but in biblical times, the importance of names and the importance of why we do the things that we do. And so we started looking last week at Genesis 29. And in Genesis 29, this is the story of where Jacob is with Leah. And Leah is not the one he originally wanted to marry, but Leah was the one that her dad tricked Jacob into marrying first. And so then Leah began to have children, and it says that she conceived and she began to bear these sons. And so she had three sons, and the first three sons that she had trying to please Jacob. She figured, if I had enough children, I would be pleasing to Jacob and Jacob would love me. All of her attention was focused on trying to get Jacob to love her. But then on her fourth son, she made the decision, I'm going to praise God. This son I'm going to have to the glory of God. She finally realized it was no longer about trying to make Jacob happy, but make God happy. And the Bible says in Genesis 29, verse 35, "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah." Judah literally means praise. Then we went to Genesis 49, and in Genesis 49, this is Jacob is old, he's well advanced in years, he's laying on his deathbed, and he calls for all of his sons. He calls for each and every one because he wants to pray a prayer of blessing over each of them. And as we go through this in Genesis chapter 49, beginning in verse 1, as Jacob begins to pray for each one of his sons, the first three, the blessing or the whatever he's praying over them is not very encouraging. As you read that, you can see some things that he's speaking over Reuben and he's speaking over Levi, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, I mean, and he's praying this. Can you imagine being Reuben and hearing the things that he's saying? But then he gets to Judah. And so as Jacob lays his hand upon Judah's head and he begins to pray, the Bible says in Genesis 49, beginning in verse 8, it says, "Judah, you are whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion who shall rouse him." So we see that as he's saying these things and he's speaking this blessing over Judah, he's acknowledging that because Leah dedicated him to the Lord, because Judah is the child of praise and Judah's name means praise, that this carries throughout all the genealogies and histories. We see this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew 1, 1 through 17, because this is the genealogy of Jesus. And the Bible actually says in verse 2, it says, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. He begot Judah. Doesn't talk about the other 11, but he focuses on Judah. And then in Hosea 5:14, it's a prophecy from the prophet Hosea. And he says in verse Hosea 5:14, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Judah. Judah is praise. Judah is the lineage, is the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. In Revelation 5:5, John the Revelator on the island of Patmos, as he's sitting there and he's seeing all these seals that are coming forward, and he begins to fret because no one can open the seals. But in verse 5 it says, but one of the elders said, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. So here we see Jesus is acknowledged as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so again, we need to understand proper praise. We need to understand that we need to focus our attention not on the things of the world, not on false gods. Hey, listen, I like football just as much as the next guy, but I'm not going to worship football. I like my truck, but I'm not going to worship my truck. I love my wife, and I'm married to her, and I honor her, but I do not worship her. My praise is to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. My praise is to Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Psalm 18 verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all of my enemies. Again, we see this, that as Jacob prophesied, as he blessed Judah, Jacob told him, he said, your hand will be on the enemy's neck. And that we're going to choke out our enemy. We're going to defeat our enemy. How do we defeat our enemy? We defeat the enemy with proper praise. Not only is Jesus worthy of praise, but when we praise him, he will save us from our enemies. As Jacob blessed Judah, so shall we say that when we praise God, our hand is on the neck of the enemy. We choke the life out of sin when we praise the King of Glory. How many of us know someone? Now, if this is you, don't raise your hand. I can't see anyways. But how many of us know someone that every time they talk, the words condemn themselves? In other words, people will say things to people, and they will discuss their problems. They will discuss poverty. They will discuss illnesses. The first thing out of their mouth is always negative. It's not praise. People will spew words of defeat out of their mouth and then ask God to bless them. I mean, I know people that I call, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it could be a beautiful day outside, no rain in sight, the sun is shining, and yet when you say, hey, how you doing? They just want to give you a list of all of their problems. They want to tell you about their backs hurting. They want to tell you about their, you know, their sinuses, their allergies, and how they couldn't have paid that bill, and they couldn't. I mean, everything is negative. People will spew words of defeat, and then turn around after they do all that, and then want God's favor upon their life. We must bless God first with our words, not after we have spoken condemnation. People ask me all the time, they say, Pastor Tim, how are you doing? And my response is always, blessed and highly favored. Now, I don't say it as much as I used to, because what happened was is I said it and I truly meant it, and then people started using it and they were just being religious. But the reality is I am blessed. I am favored. God has blessed me. I may not always feel it, but I will not give the enemy the satisfaction of letting my words praise anyone other than God. When we speak words of negativity, when we speak words against the things of God, when we speak words that are not edifying, that's exactly what we're doing, is we're giving praise to the enemy. When my words start with blessing, my actions will follow. Let me say that again. When my words start with blessing, my actions will follow. and God will pour out upon me victory. Now, I want you to kind of switch gears. And if you have your Bible, go to Numbers chapter 10. And we're going to look at something right here in Numbers chapter 10. Have you ever thought about why certain things happen? Think about the church today. Every church, pretty much, I think that you go to, what do they do first? They do the worship first. They do the praise first before they get to the word. And have you ever thought about where that came from? Well, if you go back into Numbers, God spoke to Moses, and as Moses built the tabernacle according to God's standards, then God began to tell Moses how to set up each tribe around the tabernacle. Okay, so there's four sides of the tabernacle. There's 12 tribes. There's three tribes on each side of the tabernacle. And as they would pick up the tabernacle to move, as the cloud would pick itself up off of the tabernacle, begin to move, then the children of Israel would follow the cloud. So as they would tear down the camp and they would pick up the tabernacle and they would begin to move, God had Moses establish the tribes in such a way that the first tribe to move, the first tribe to lead the way, was Judah. Numbers 10:14 says, "The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first, according to their armies. Over their army was Nashon, the son of Abinadab." Judah was the first to go. When they went into battle, Judah was the first to go. When they got ready to move the tabernacle, Judah was the first to go. Judah was always first. Praise was always first. The word says that the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Judah, went out first. Judges chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?'" Verse number 2, "And the Lord said, 'Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand.'" Again, we see that Judah went out first. We can learn here that the praise went first. The Lord commanded the children of Israel to send Judah first, to send the praisers first, that the Lord would deliver them into victory. Listen, life is not always easy. Our flesh does get weak, but when we lift up our Judah, when we lift up our praise first, God will deliver us. When we praise first instead of complain, we give God the glory and not the enemy. When we praise first, we will choke out the plans of Satan and receive the blessings of God. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is any among you suffering? Pray." It doesn't say, "Is any among you suffering? Complain and tell everybody about it." First it says, "Is any among you suffering? Pray." Then it goes on and says to sing songs. He just asks, "Are you suffering?" I mean, if you're sick, if you're dealing with things in your body, if you're dealing with things in your finances, if you're dealing with things in your family, what's he say? Pray and sing songs. Not complain, not gossip, not tell everybody your dirty laundry, but offer up a sacrifice of praise. I'll never forget years ago, I met a man. He was a minister, and man, God was just so moving in his church. And this guy came before he'd got saved and stuff. He came out of a life of substance abuse, and God had radically delivered him, and he called him into ministry, and he had a very successful church that was on fire for God. And then what happened was is his son, who was in another state, ended up getting killed by his roommate while he was at college. And I remember this man's testimony. He said the night, in the middle of the night, when he got the call from the highway patrol that his son had been killed and that they needed to come down to Florida and identify the body and all those things, he said, "You know," he said, "what I wanted to do, my flesh wanted to be angry. My flesh wanted to cry out and ask God, 'How could this happen? Why did you let this happen? You know, I serve you. Why does this take place?'" A lot of the same questions many of us have asked during this time of tornadoes here in Middle Tennessee or because of this coronavirus that's going around. You know, people want to ask God why, but this pastor friend of mine, he said, when that first happened, he said, "I took my flesh captive and I ran out in my front yard and I threw my hands in the air." And I begin to praise God, and I begin to thank God for the 19 years that I had with my son. And I begin to thank God for just giving me the memories. And he said, I was not about to give the enemy the victory. Even though I lost my son, even though we were grieving, even though it was hard, he said, God has blessed me and my family, and I was not about to give the enemy any satisfaction. I'm going to praise the Lord. Is any among you suffering? Pray, sing songs, offer praise to God. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. God desires us to come to him with praise first, not after we have given Satan credit for our bad day, our sickness, or our loss. He desires us to lift up our hands and our voices and give him praise, even in our distress. I think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Here you got Paul and Silas have just been beaten, have just been abused for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're sitting in this Philippian jail. Now listen, if you've ever spent time in jail, and I hate to say it, but I have, but if you've ever spent any time in jail, the jails we have around here are glorious places compared to where Paul and Silas were at. They were sitting underground in a cave that had been hewn out. They were sitting down there with no running water, with no indoor plumbing, with no air conditioning, with no light. And they've been beaten, and they're sitting there shackled. I mean, can you just imagine the people that are sitting in this jail, and they're using the bathroom on themselves, and the stench had to be outrageous, and the bugs and the mice and all the things that were going on down in that jail. And I mean, it just had to be just such a wretched place. And the guards didn't care. I mean, if you died, they probably just left the body laying there, and the stench would have been terrible. So Paul and Silas are sitting in this jail, and the Bible says in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, as I think about this story, and again, I think about, you know, they've probably got open wounds and bruises all over their body, and the smell is terrible. If they can see anything by candlelight or moonlight, it's just a horrid place. But instead of complaining, instead of grumbling, instead of asking God, Lord, why are we here? How could you let this happen? The Bible says that they begin to pray and sing hymns. They begin to offer up their Judah to God, their praise to God. And then it says that the place shook. Let me tell you something. Some of you got some things going on in your life that you just need to shake. And you will shake them when you offer up a sacrifice of praise. When you start praising God, no matter what's going on, no matter your circumstances, but you just begin to offer up a sacrifice of praise, man, you're going to shake some things loose in your life. The prison door flew open. Their handcuffs fell off. God wants us to praise. They were in the worst possible place, in the filthiest prison, and had been beaten and chained, and yet they did not complain. They sang praise to God. Now go with me to one more place. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Man, I love this. It says, so they rose early in the morning and went out until the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should go and sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, now when they had begun to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, and the precious jewelry which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were there 3 days in the spoil because it was so much. Listen, here they're getting ready to go into battle. They are outnumbered. There are three different armies against the children of Judah, but yet Jehoshaphat begins to tell them that we're going to praise God. We're going to believe in the Lord, and His word and His promises are going to be established. And not only did God move because they offered up praise, but God turned the armies against themselves and allowed them to defeat themselves, and then allowed the children of Judah to go in and said there was so much spoil. There was such an abundance of spoil, man, they could not carry it away. Listen, when we will offer up a praise, God will begin to shake some things. When we offer up a praise, God will defeat our enemies. When we offer up a praise, God will give us such an abundance that we won't be able to handle all of it. John 10:10 says, "The thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." See, not only did their praise lead them to utterly destroy the enemy, but they also received the abundance. The praise to God going first only led to the enemy's defeat, but it led to the prosperity of those that praised him. I just want to encourage you today. Don't allow your words to lead you to defeat, but allow your praise to bring victory in every situation. We need to learn to praise the Lord in every situation. I just want you to offer up a Judah. Offer up a praise to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. The enemy is imitating, but he is not the real. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He is worthy of our praise. Father God, I pray that you bless each and every one that's listening to this. Lord, I pray right now for safety and protection over each and every one. Let no plague nor pestilence come nigh their dwelling. Keep them and their families safe from all harm. Father, we just rebuke right now this spirit of fear. We rebuke this coronavirus and command it to go in the name of Jesus. May we walk in divine health and victory over our ministries, over our families, the things that you have appointed unto us. May we go safely to our jobs, and may we have an abundance, because Father, our praise is to you and to you alone. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in us, through us, and with us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity I have to share your word. And Father, I thank you that your word brings victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much again for listening. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Hope you have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more about this ministry or consider supporting, visit us at teenchallengeuc.org.